And I tried a lot of cases, civil cases, and then became the state party chairman in New Jersey. And I sort of drifted off into fighting with bureaucrats at that point. And the political fight with bureaucrats turned into a professional fight with bureaucrats. And I was particularly glad to see the Supreme Court finally come to the point where they didn't think that whatever the bureaucrats said was the right answer because they had special expertise. Yeah. My wife asked me how those cases went. I said, well, I lost every one of them. So I was delighted to see that the Supreme Court gave the new David Norcross a shot at winning some of those cases.
Yeah, well, I can tell you that I'm personally appreciative. I'm sorry, the lawyers, because it's true. Sometimes we have ideas about cases we kick around with you. And right. And you always have a wisdom that, because of your experience practicing, I think manifests itself.
Well, I very much enjoyed the practice of law. And to some extent, as I drifted off into crisis management and lobbying, I missed it. But I was kept plenty busy doing the other stuff that I finally ended up doing, which is why I ended up on the PILF board, I suppose.
And at one point in your life, I think you were a candidate for U.S. Senate. You were the nominee of the Republican Party in New Jersey, right?
That's true. And since you don't call me senator, the outcome is obvious.
Yeah, but I think when you do a campaign, you learn more about election law. It's like a crash course. And I think even if you lose, you win in a way.
That's certainly true. You learn an awful lot, and win or lose, you learn it. But yes, I also served as chairman of a county election board for, I don't know, 5 years, something like that. So I've done elections as a litigator, as an appointee of redistricting boards, as a candidate. I've kind of been all over the map.
So with that perspective, what are your thoughts about kind of where America is today and where we are with the conservative movement? You know, you've been there a long time involved, not just as a bystander. Let me give you two hypothetical competing scenarios. Are we finally achieving things that the conservatives have sought to achieve for decades, or are we in a place where things are becoming frayed and norms are being destroyed, or somewhere in between?
Well, norms are being destroyed, but some of the norms that are being destroyed badly needed to be destroyed. And I'm grateful that President Trump's got the will to do those things, because reversing trends of, 40 years can't be done quietly with reasoned arguments. You've really got to break some crockery and get into the shop and throw things around, and he's willing to do that. I think we are at a good point in terms of where is society, because we have begun to challenge things that had, like DEI, that never should have been accepted in the first place. On the other hand, it is true that some steps are being taken which are worrisome. I think it's absolutely right to try to take care of the District of Columbia, but I also understand that that's a bold move that may not necessarily look all that good from certain aspects. But right. But that's one of those things that really has to be done. Nobody else was doing it.
So speaking of looking good from certain aspects, I just thought of this. We hadn't talked about this, so I'm going to hit you with a out of the blue. What did you think of, maybe you didn't see it, but I'll bet you did. What did you think of the squadron of F-35s and the B-2 bomber doing the flyover that Putin wasn't expecting?
I loved it.
Wasn't it incredible?
I loved it.
Yeah.
Because I thought Putin held his own in that meeting, but the bomber and the escort kind of put an exclamation point on the situation. It was a bold move. It was the right move, and it was spectacular.
Two things I thought was, one, these are the toys I have that you don't, right? These are my toys. It's like Christmas morning right. When you visit the friend's house. Second was, Putin wasn't expecting it. And as you know, when there's some low-flying, powerful jet engines coming your way, and you notice he flinched.
You can't ignore it.
Yeah.
You cannot ignore it. Even if you know they're coming, it's impressive. That right. was good.
No, it's the little things like that that make you really appreciate what Donald Trump is. It's a willingness to break the norm that you don't send a surprise flyover in that sort of strategic situation. And it's, over and over again, Trump is doing things that are busting up the surface tension that the progressive left has imposed on the country.
And it's absolutely imperative that we do that yeah. because we were drifting into a society that's absolutely nothing like what we think America is or was. And you can't do that without making some enemies and, as I said before, breaking some crockery.
And for that reason, I think Trump, at least at this stage, is going to go down as one of the most consequential figures in American history.
Well, somebody said to me the other day that he thought, and this is a guy very interested in politics, but he's not at all a politician, that there are two people who stand out in his mind, Reagan and Trump. And he said, in spite of the fact they have extremely different personalities, a willingness to meet the problems head on and do what has to be done.
Isn't it interesting that in some ways both of them were counter-revolutionaries in the sense Reagan was responding to the Great Society, the Carter excesses, Trump obviously the progressive, muscular progressive Democratic Party of the Obama years. Both of them are kind of like following the wake of an effort to reshape what America is, and they reset.
And I think that's what this man I was talking to, that's what was behind his statement, that two people stood out in his mind. Yeah. And that's why they both did things that nobody before or after, until we got to Trump, would think to do or had the courage to do. And it takes courage. Yeah. They are very, very different personalities. But the result, I think, is going to be similar.
Of course. Also interesting in that analogy is people tried to kill both of them, now that you think about it, early
yes.
on, yeah.
And unsurprisingly, both had Russia as a significant adversary. Yeah.
So, which takes us, let's get back to the core of the Public Interest Legal Foundation, was election integrity, constitutional arrangement of American elections. This was not really a super big deal 20 years ago in the party, or it was, if it was, it was campaign finance. Like, how do you see that evolution taking place?
It was campaign financing. It was redistricting, which is still a big deal, and that's an interesting question in itself. That reformation is equally important, actually, and I think we're in a much better place because we have been willing to challenge what had become the drift in the 2020 election, the drift of election law, which was more by laxity on our part, frankly, than anything else, that has come to an end, an abrupt end, and it should have. It was passed due. The Democrats used COVID to relax election laws, regulations, and just general cultural performance in ways that magnified their vote. And I think we're in a position where we've certainly slowed that down, but we've got to keep at it to stop it.
So just to give you a whiff of the madness of the progressive left that you already know well enough about, Pilth just filed a brief in Kansas opposing, we were helping the state of Kansas. We were filing a brief, amicus brief for the defendants. The plaintiffs in Kansas are alleging that they have a constitutional right to a fusion voting system where the, like in New York, like Conservative Party, Republican, Workers Party, I forget the exact name of the nutty left wing, like People's Workers Party or whatever, and the Democrats fuse on the general election ballot. I mean, that's where some of these people are, is trying to claim there's a constitutional right to have a fusion voting statute.
Well, that's what I meant by the drift. We have drifted to a point where somebody could say that with yeah. a straight face.
Right.
We're talking about ranked choice voting with a straight face. People are talking about that as a constitutional right, when actually it's a constitutional fraud.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, we got to, those are things that where we've got to put up the barriers, because the drift was becoming more than a drift. The drift was becoming a cultural norm. Yeah. And to be able to say, as they're doing in Kansas, we have a right to fusion voting is ridiculous. It's almost as ridiculous as not recognizing that boys are boys and girls are girls.
About that.
Which is probably what explains the craziness of the progressive left's drift. That shouldn't even be a controversy.
Yeah. And if you want to know what fusion voting is, because I'll bet a lot of people are saying, what on earth are David Norcross and Chris Knapp talking about?
I think we're talking about food.
Right. You can go to publicinterestlegal.org to learn about the Kansas brief and what we're doing there. But, you know, another example, the last example that I'll give is the idea that ballots can keep rolling in the mail for weeks. And Public Interest Legal Foundation filed a case in North Dakota to try to stop that there. Our client didn't have standing. But the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals recently ruled that federal law requires mail ballots to be in by Election Day for federal elections.
And again, that's simply a matter of common sense. If you're going to protect ballot integrity, you can't have ballots drifting in 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days after. A rule is a rule. Abide by it. Get it done. When I was chairman of an election board, we had to have all the ballots that we were going to count in on Election Day. It's a simple rule. And for most people, it makes a great deal of sense.
Well, David, you make a great deal of sense. It has been great to have you as a guest. David Norcross, who's on the board of the Public Interest Legal Foundation. I'm Christian Adams, also at the Public Interest Legal Foundation. If you want more information, go to publicinterestlegal.org. And don't forget to subscribe and like us down below. I'm J. Christian Adams. This has been Protecting Your Vote. Till next time, thank you for joining us.